Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Evening, Blue Jays fans, and hey, what are you looking at? Anyway, here are Jay Bird Watching, and we are here for another lovely week of talking Toronto Blue Jays baseball. I am Craig Borden, your host this evening, joined by my colleague Jason Lyons. Ken Alfred will be joining, apparently, in the sometime, possibly.
Swinging in.
We're finding like the Where's Ken Waldo version of tonight. You know? But Jason, how are we doing?
You know what, buddy? Great. Tough week for the Jays, but I feel like it has been possibly one of the most interesting to watch, so many different things, Manoah getting booed and then all the stuff we're going to talk about today. I don't want to let the official cat out of the bag, but I mean, everyone knows what we're going to talk about.
Why is there like an elephant in the room?
He's Louise.
Or some giant large gentleman and some people that have to keep that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I feel like it's one of those things where stuff like this happens way more than we, you know, is clear and present. And that just happened to be one of those real oopses right in front of, you know,
everybody.
And then he couldn't even keep a straight face afterwards, which I think made me more angry. The fact that he knew they were caught and he assumed something was going to happen and then nothing happens. He's laughing in the post game.
And 100%.
I don't know. Anyways, it's been a beautiful race here, you know, otherwise.
Dive more into that topic because that isn't what is on all Blue Jays fans' minds at this point. Let's talk the alternate part of this week. So last time we were together, the Blue Jays were just about to lose to the Philadelphia Phillies last two ends day. And to that point, they turned around and went back home and just completely destroyed the Atlanta Braves for the majority of the weekend. Three to nothing in the first game with a crazy effort by Chris Bassitt.
Unbelievable.
5-2 win on Saturday. And then Mother's Day, they squeak out 1-6-5. So, Jason, takeaways from, I'd say that first game was pretty damn large as far as putting a stamp of approval on where the Blue Jays are going this season.
Yeah. I mean, I think that whole series was very, like, Bassitt was unreal. And, you know, and then to see the confidence to have him go back out there for 8, you know, and really just see this, that whole game through, he never looked like he faltered. I think the score in all three games very much flatters the Atlanta Braves. I don't feel like they were in any of those games. I don't know if I've ever seen a team make more errors that in three games than the Pirates from a couple of years ago when they were just like 100.
Especially that game on Sunday. Comical.
Unbelievable. And I kept going back to it and I was like, did that just happen again? Like, did they just drop it again? And, you know, I think it's one of those things that really puts a refresher into the, you know, after losing a couple, then winning a couple. I mean, it seems to me the Jays' MO right now, it's sweep or get swept. You know, which isn't the best way to go through the season.
Games? That's how this works?
Yeah. Thank you, you're winning the threes and losing the twos, then I guess you end up on the good
side. Here. You got to put more points on the scoreboard. Otherwise, you don't win a football game.
Yeah. I mean, I love seeing guys like Acuna and guys you don't get to see too much if you're not surfing around the diamond and, you know, again, Bassett was lights out. Bo Bichette is a machine
in right now. Fuego.
It's nonsensical. Like, he goes up there and you can see, he's angry when he gets out because his expectation is that it shouldn't be out.
Base it all day, every day.
Yeah.
No exceptions is what he's got going on.
Interesting that Kiermaier went to a pair of spectacles halfway through the week.
I thought that was actually kind of slick. And I guess they were talking about that on one of the broadcasts a little bit, that he does that. But he had a pair of glasses that were meant to be for the kind of the wind more than anything, just running around on days where it was really whipping around. I guess he just fell into getting comfortable with them. And right now, I don't care what he's doing. The sauce is working.
Yeah.
Make sure he keeps
eating. There's a few of them that are just, Danny Jansen, they're all of them. There's a few guys that aren't, but they're very few right now. And even, I got to give a shout out to Brandon Belt. Belty stepped in and played first base. His punts have been, it's hilarious. It's getting funny now because the third baseman knows it's coming and they still can't get there to get his whole last note. And it's hilarious. He loves it. He's smiling. He gets to the base. He's doing that thing they do. And, I really liked it. It was a good, enjoyable week of baseball tainted by a Yankee series. So.
Oh, there was that. But I think the thing that was the craziest, especially about the Sunday game, was the fact that Buck and they were just talking back and forth, expecting those run-ins to happen.
Yeah.
You know that?
That's
just the two of them were back and forth the whole game and just couldn't, believe it. They were dumbfounded. It was like they were watching a single-A baseball game or something.
Yeah. Yeah, or Little League. It was very right. Little League-y, overthrows and guys dropping routines and, but then again, I don't know if you watched any of the other games around the weekend. There was a ton of errors. I don't know what was in the
saucer
or what was, what the moon, where, what phase it was in. I think Tatis had two drops in the outfield. I saw, four or five other guys, not that I think Tatis is a good outfielder, but. Four or five other guys make really routine errors. And I don't know. It was a weird weekend. Weird week.
To that point, what was the last time? I was shocked to hear that actually last season that Chapman had two errors in one game during that broadcast. And he was the two errors for the Blue Jays on Sunday. But you don't expect that to happen. And that's a fluke day.
Yeah.
But you looking at the Atlanta Braves through that whole series, you think they're like, oh shit, Kevin Plyer is one of our best defensive players, right? So I really don't know what was going on, but to that point it was very fun to see Kevin Plyer. Unfortunately, he did hit a home run against us,
yeah,
which was only so much fun, but it turned into a loss for the Atlanta Braves, so it worked out perfectly. We get the fan service, get a home run into the new flight deck areas and stuff like that, move on.
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
But to that point, he's actually had a sneaky last week in baseball, too. He was actually one of the MLB, the show, they do the now things during that game. And Kevin Plyer was one of the cards that you could win for that this past week. So
my son let me know that my son Jet is well informed on that stuff. And he actually,
I have a problem.
He didn't realize that he knew he was traded to Atlanta, but he didn't realize that he was playing. He actually thought that he wasn't playing. And the conversation comes up as to not only he's playing, but he's playing really, really, really well. So, congratulations, Kev. You were always one of my favorites.
It's early in the season.
I got Kev right here when he was a Vancouver Canadian,
No, I thought that was actually a Canada Day one all these weeks.
No,
I didn't realize that was
original,
an actual Vancouver Canadians.
Yeah,
OG.
Original when he was the last year he was a Canadian.
Golf. That's really cool.
Yeah. And off topic,
all my Blue Jays bobbleheads are in the other room.
Yeah.
It was
off topic. I don't know if you saw this or not, but did you see the Cincinnati City Connect jerseys?
Those are sick. I kind of like the black
and cover it. They are unreal. And Joey Votto should just wear that thing. And Team Canada, Team Canada Baseball, we actually had some Lynn Valley kids make Team Canada this week, which is awesome. Way to go, guys. That's a huge honor.
Awesome.
Team Canada, take a look at those unis.
I just love the subtle black.
Yeah.
With the red, the subtle red with all that black.
It's amazing.
Really cool. Came off really awesome. This looks mean.
I hope the Jays are going to do a City Connect.
They have to. Toronto's too big of a city to not have a City Connect. If they don't have a City Connect already planned, it's because they're arguing about what they really put on it, because there is just so much diversity in the city of Toronto.
I'm sure it's not something, it'll have something to do with 604. Or that's always been sort of a, you know, something that's a reoccurring theme, you know.
Yeah. But in the midst of that, do you just take it a little further and say they're Canada's team? Do you just, you stop at Toronto and throw some just Blue Jay culture things, period, into it?
Yeah.
Because you can rough it out as, you know, Canada, period. Yeah. It doesn't have to be. That's the perk of them having that whole, you know, wonderful market we get to enjoy as Blue Jays fans, you know, literally from coast to coast right now as we do this show.
Yeah. They could just put Drake's face on it.
That'll be like the Milwaukee Brewers one, which, by the way, is my other favorite one, that has just a tailgating grill on the side. Just have a big picture of Drake.
So good.
So I'm trying to think of who you put on the other side. If it's Canada related, you have to put, like, you know,
Gordon Gretzky Lightfoot
at this point, or the other. There you go, Gordon.
Neil Young.
There you go. Rush. Just have Rush written across.
Right across.
And have a big drum set of Neil Peart in the back.
Yeah. You know,
or is this like endless and wrapping around the other front? Good stuff. But anyway, back to the fun. Like I said, that was an awesome series. It really put the Blue Jays in the nice spot in the power rankings to start this week, with them dusting the Atlanta Braves. And like you would expect, the Tampa Bay Rays are somehow still above the Toronto Blue Jays in that, because they're, even though they're playing really well, it hasn't been the craziness of what they've been doing all season. I'd say normal winning ways for the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Baltimore Orioles are still playing really good baseball. And if you haven't noticed the trend, Blue Jays fans, we play in a hell of a division. And the worst team in our division currently, the Boston Red Sox, is still 2 games above .500. Actually,
crazy.
3, I think, again, after last night. So, and
yeah,
right now,
nuts,
as we start the game that I'm watching right here on my phone, because I have the VPN and pretend I'm not in New York State to watch this baseball game. So, I can't believe the division we play in. It's
don't
just
they have
obnoxious.
I thought the power ranking that I saw, the top 10 teams, it included every team from the American League East.
Correct. Top 10 included every team from the American League East at one of them. I think the Red Sox slipped out of
into a
most of them. Yes.
No. So,
like, oh no. Yeah, what will we do? I hope they slip off even further over the next couple weeks. That hot streak is what put them in the top 10 on a lot of people's, you know, power rankings and stuff, because of the way they were playing over the last weeks. Hey.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge just got up. Just saying.
You know what? I'll tell you this much. If we're going to get into this one, you know, let's get into it. So I am so surprised that he didn't eat a baseball game too. Like, how does Bassett not? I mean, and even, I don't know if you saw Judge's first at bat, Bassett changed his wind up, is everything a little bit. He kind of, as he was walking up, he kind of shrugged his shoulders like, here comes big boy. Better be ready for it. And Judge looked back at Jansen to see if Jansen gave him any kind of get ready for it, dude.
Jansen's just sitting there going like,
yeah. And then he struck him out. Throws a beautiful cutter to strike him out, but then he broke the sign.
Speaking of horrible, I just lost the game because, you know, apparently me pretending I'm in Los Angeles with my VPN's not working right now.
So, I mean, if we want to analyze the two games, I find it so interesting that the Jays don't ever feel like they're out of games. It's not like they feel like they're getting thumped in these games, even when they're getting beat bad. They come back, they battle back, you know, they battle back to get 3 yesterday and get back into it, you know, Bichette, Vladdy, and they're excited. They're firing. And, you know, you and I talked about this a little bit before we got on. Let's all just address the look. Now, I know MLB has come out to say that it wasn't cheating. MLB, I'm going to bring this in nice and close for you. It's cheating. Stealing signs is cheating. I don't care what.
Just to be this person, it's more real than the man in white.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So what
I was listening
to a couple of different renditions about what was happening or what people were noticing. And apparently Kirk has a bit of a tendency to make a different movement with his legs when he's calling fastball or off-speed stuff. And so as he's making his movements, the Yankees are recognizing the pitches, and you know, whether it's Booney sending the signals in or whoever it is, it's somebody sending a signal in to him. He didn't look down at the catcher. He's looking into the dugout for a signal. And
yeah,
I find it interesting that right after that look in, he hits one that probably still hasn't landed.
462 feet, I believe.
And then he looks like a donkey for six at bats until he hits another one. Like, I mean, he wasn't even close on the rest of those. And correct. I think that's the thing that's the most frustrating for me. If they're going to openly cheat, if they're going to openly steal signs, and, you know, then, you know, Judge is laughing about it after the game. Like, at least do something, MLB. Something,
anything. I was looking to see what Booney was doing.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't make anybody feel any better about it. And I, you know, I read a bunch of comments about this, and all the people that say, you know, George Springer cheated, and he got a ring, and blah, 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 zip it. You know, like, come on. They dealt with that. We're supposed to have more respect for the game. And respect would be to not be looking into your dugout to steal a sign.
The catch would be not getting caught red-handed.
Right. And don't be
you
so obvious.
You literally want... The fact that Buck saw it with Schulman right then and there during a live broadcast, and we're like, wait,
did you just see that?
Yeah.
Is that right there?
Mm.
And then they're mildly talking about it. And it's a colossal home run.
Monster.
And I don't know. And then, you know, to see the I'm going to have to go back because I was so frustrated with it. But Domingo Germain gets caught cheating the next day.
Something's in the sauce. Something's in there.
You can't tell me. And I challenge any Yankee fan I know. I only know one of them. To say anything to the
Yankee country. Bring it, boys.
Yeah, say anything. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I guess if they don't care, I mean, they've never cared about the payroll. They've just overpaid and paid the fines and done all that stuff. And if they don't care about the fines, I mean, I think this speaks a lot to what's just happened in the NHL playoffs. And, you know, Toronto fans, we might want to plug your ears for a minute, you know. The big thing that I see right now in sports is the teams that are winning are the teams that have heart. And the New York Yankees have no heart. Okay. They don't. I'm sorry, Leafs fans. The Leafs fans don't have any heart either. It was nice to see Ryan O'Reilly get picked up at the end. He is hard, but he needed to be there all year to make a change. Right?
I love Ryan O'Reilly.
So do I.
Sabres fan.
If he was there all year, if he was a Leaf all year, different story. They're playing a different kind of hockey. Matthew Tkachuk has shown people that if you want it bad enough, you can make the people around you better. And it's the same with the Oilers. Like, I watched the Oilers exit and, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid are like, meh, meh, meh. You're the two best players in the world. Make it happen. Like, at least nut up and bring the other guys with
point,
you.
On the Blue Jays avenue, we've seen that happening flat out in our dugout.
Yes.
Kiermaier is the perfect example of that. Winning is infectious. And you build all this heart up and you got to add another guy like him into this mix. Like I said, I had my wonders if he was really going to stay healthy, but he is hitting on all cylinders at this point.
And
it doesn't look like anybody's going to stop him. And you saw in last night's game when we took the lead, how important him having that drive to succeed in the ninth spot in our lineup carries through into a rally in last night's game. And then on many occasions, actually, that home run lit the whole offense up.
Yeah. And did you see who when Germain was getting... You know, when they like called the first timeout and you see the first guy up the stairs was Brandon Belt. He's in there yelling. He's like, I'm telling you,
yep.
Belt and Kiermaier are huge assets going the whole way through this year. They know baseball in and out. They've both seen it all. And, you know, it's really inspiring to see guys like that. And Mattingly as well. Mattingly was up and angry and, you know, from what I can understand, it takes a lot to get Don mad. Maybe, you know, stiffing him with the bill, I've heard, is something that makes him very angry.
But I've actually heard that on a couple of occasions.
Otherwise,
that's like in baseball lore.
Yeah, like, pretty cool otherwise. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's a tough week for the Jays. I think it's tough to lose those two games. My hope is that they can come out tonight with a really good effort. You know, win or lose, I think that you know, this series is not indicative of how the season series will go against the Yankees or what we can expect in the playoffs or anything like that.
I think we know that a little bit too, because flip to a few weeks ago when we were in the Bronx, it was a completely different story.
Totally different story.
So it's just going to be like this. We're going to be a very competitive with them. And I think the, you know, the big thing when we went into the Bronx earlier, a few weeks ago, was, oh, Manoah and Jarrett Cole, bang, 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 evil, 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 you know, all that kind of things, both back and forth, rightfully so. Jarrett Cole with the stupidity moment last year of going past the Audi sign. Manoah in this offseason saying, who's the biggest cheater in baseball? And him calling out Jarrett Cole.
Yep.
Just saying, your buddy, Domingo Germán, got caught all kinds of sticky, like the fucking sticky bandits from freaking Home Alone 2.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw the... Did you see the picture of his, like, it was on his jersey and his pants and
everywhere,
like, everywhere, like on his wrist. And it's funny because I was watching Major League last night. It just happened to roll on. And it that part with Harris, where he takes off his shirt and Vaughn's like, what
it's
is that?
Not on a baseball.
Like, you know, he's like, Vagisil and Crisco and, you know,
everything gets a little bit of a different curve.
So funny. So hilarious.
I always think of Bregma from Rookie of the Year talking about spitballs and stuff. Put snot on a baseball. Yeah. Anything that'll give me an edge, Jim.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but I, you know, the players know that these guys are checking for that. And honestly, I'm wondering how much the umpires caught wind of this beforehand, because he was inspected on the way out to the mound for the fourth inning.
Yeah. I feel like somebody, this is like the golfers that get called.
Tip them.
this is like the golfers that get called, like when a viewer sees a golfer do something and they get an email into the PGA and they're like, hey, we got to check this. I feel like that's what it was. I feel like somebody saw it on his pants and maybe sent an email in or sent a text into MLB or wherever you do that to. I wouldn't even know. Gotta be,
or maybe one of the players finally said, hey, maybe, you see that? He's shiny.
But you know, it's I find it very frustrating. I think that, I mean, he's especially a good enough pitcher to not be doing that,
correct?
But I mean, it speaks to a lot of them. Like, is Tatis a good enough athlete to not be using roids? 100% he is, and
we're gonna find out very soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, he you know, he's on fire at the start, now he's cooled right off, but. You know,
baseball,
I get it.
No adjustments.
I'm not a professional athlete. But you know what? I know you've got to stay on top to stay up there, and you've got to stay on top to make the millions. And I understand all that stuff. But I think at some point, the respect for the game has to sort of take over, and you have to sort of say, you know, I'll maybe take a mile an hour off my, you know, slider to just have some integrity. But he is a Yankee, so.
Well, and I don't know how much you caught wind of a few other things flying around in Yankee media lately, or anti-Yankee media would be, I guess, the better way of saying it. They're asking a lot of questions about former Yankees gone good lately. The clear, blatant, obvious thing right now is the fact that Adrolis Chapman is ungodly right now for the Kansas City Royals.
Unbelievable.
103-mile-an-hour fastball again. Barely throwing the slider at all. And the things that have been falling out is the fact that the Yankees apparently, at least this is the story, I'm just reporting it as I've been reading it from many sports places. I got the little earpiece thing. So the Yankees have been forcing their pitchers to do certain things. The analytics say you should throw this. And I think we saw that a little bit the other night with who did we light up in the one inning before Ryan came in yesterday? It was one of the other relievers after.
Oh, yeah.
Germán came in. But anyway, he was clearly not somebody that should have been throwing curveballs and shit yesterday.
No.
Especially for that little window that he was in the game where the Blue Jays scored 3 runs, right? Like in 5 seconds, it felt like. Yeah. It was very quick. Kiermaier home run. Springer gets on. Boom, 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 boom. Vladdy singles. You know, it was done. 3 runs. So, but the other, there's more to that. Sonny Gray is having one of the best pitching seasons in all of Major League Baseball so far this year for the Twins.
Yeah.
Also, somebody else that has said the same thing about the New York Yankees, way they handle pitchers. So now you get those things out in the media this week. You get sticky stuff.
Well, I feel like...
Peaking.
Yeah. I mean, Gray...
I just wonder how they won the many games they've seen this year.
Yeah. Gray's always been one of those ones that I found to be very interesting because he was so highly touted. He goes to the Yankees and he's a complete flop. And you're like, how's that happen? Like, I mean, he's got, you know, all of the talent, all of the skill. And I mean, the Yankees have all of
hello, everybody. If you couldn't figure out what we're talking about, we're having fun with how much the Yankees are not cheating.
They never cheat. What are you talking about?
Best team in baseball. They shouldn't have to cheat, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about with Gray as well. Is they were the best. They're one of the best teams in baseball. How do you mistreat a guy so badly? But
yeah,
it's right to your point, Craig. Like, I mean, there are certain teams that make bad decisions, and you're starting to see that in the majors now. Really start to bleed over, and the teams that trust their players, the teams that trust their catchers, the teams that trust their staff are the ones that are having success, and they're having successful players go other places and rave about their experience. And there's others that are you know, mostly Yankees players are have a lot to say about the organization and just the way things are run. And I don't know. I mean, if there's that much smoke, there's got to be fire at some point. So
I don't know what smoke I'm missing in this game right now, but Aaron Boone's pretty pissy about something. And you can see Pete Walker going, good job. That's lovely. Something crazy. But Ken, I don't know how much you've caught wind of what's happened in the Yankees series so far. But the,
all I, yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. All I know is that, they seem to be getting the better of us the last couple of games. And, something's going on with Judge that everyone's now thinking that, what the hell's going on with that?
So,
and now apparently the coaches are even getting into it. So
yeah, there might be a coach fight today.
My bet's on Donnie Baseball. Just saying.
So did you see when they took the lineups out yesterday, you could see what they were saying to each other, and it was not, they weren't like, hey buddy, how's the family in Boca? Yeah. It wasn't that.
Kind of like, how about you put the shenanigans to stop and, you know, play this fucking.
Yeah. Or we're going to cram it down your throat. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There might be one today. Like, I mean, I'd be very surprised if Judge doesn't wear one and Garrett Cole's on the mound as well. So, I mean, you know, he's just as apt to throw one right into the dugout. You know, it's, that's about his style too. He'd run.
Beat him on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Kenny, so the main piece of the story here for Blue Jays fans that haven't caught the wind of this whole thing so far tonight. First game of the series, Aaron Judge gets caught by the Blue Jays broadcast team, more or less, just kind of peering in the wrong direction to be playing a Major League Baseball game. And the question is, okay, well, what's going on? What's that? And then two pitches, not even one pitch, and then the following pitch. It's a home run to the tune of 462 feet. And then last night's game, Domingo Germán, the Yankees starter, literally gets caught with sticky stuff going out to the mound on the fourth inning. So literally two episodes of cheating within 24 hours. That's kind of the point where they're, you know, that's where there's smoke, there's fire at this point.
Yeah, I don't get it, because this is just still the regular season. It's not like it's a playoff game, American League championship, where you expect to be more scrutiny and people trying to get ahead just even a smidge, right? Because, I mean, we're how many games into, like 60-ish, no, 30-ish games or something into a 162-game season? What the hell's the point of doing this now? It does nothing to you, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. I guess they're just trying to build on a row. What was that?
They said they're desperate because right now they're hurt, they're banged up, and they're trying to stay afloat in a lead, in a division, nonetheless. And what Jason and I were pointing out, every team in the American League East is above 500 right now. And with the Red Sox being as hot as they were over the last couple of weeks in the Major League Baseball power rankings on some websites, and I want to say to Jason's point, this is including Major League Baseball's power rankings, all five American League East teams are in the top 10 of the power rankings. Yeah. That's obscene. That's like unheard of. That doesn't happen. So
yeah, it's,
I can see why they're getting a little desperate if they feel like they're falling behind a little bit. But right now, to this day, they are completely tied right now with the Toronto Blue Jays as we are watching the game Wednesday evening here with us on Jaybird Watching.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. It's just Yankees.
So, Yankees. But anyway, to summarize it, I really just, there's got to be something to this. If the sticky thing didn't happen, I might have taken it with a grain of salt, because there's too many things that had to go right. And to your point, Jason, somebody's got to be letting the secret out, whether it's Kirk tipping something or whatever it might be, right? It still had to happen.
Something's going on.
But yeah, there's too much relaying in it, and it shouldn't be coming from the dugout. You know, the unwritten rules of baseball is you can deflect, you know, signal, do whatever you want, long as you're on the field of play, was always kind of the...
Yeah, like if the second baseman notices something, or sorry, the guy who's on second notices something, that's really, as a batter, all you can see, right? Like, I mean, you're set, you're looking straight out at the pitcher.
Guilty.
The guy behind.
Done it.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of, I think that at a certain level, you start to get encouraged to, you know, sort of, if you see that the repetition of pitch is 1-4-2-1 inside, and you see that again, and you can recognize the pitch, where you're like, okay, well, I've got that figured out. I can see that that's a fastball, and I'm going to do this to my batter every time I take my lead. I'm going to do this, and then he knows. At least he knows. It's still hard to hit. Like, you have to give it to Judge. I mean, he knew what was coming, and he hit it a country mile. A game later, he doesn't know what's coming, and he hits it even farther and breaks a side. Like, I mean,
yes.
I don't think we're denying the fact that Aaron Judge is a masher. Like, I mean, he's a guy's a sad.
No doubt about it.
But if there's extra shenanigans going on around that,
right,
that's where I have the problem.
And Ken, to your point about, you know, why would you be doing it now? If you don't test it now in the regular season and see if you do get caught, then there's no way to put it into play in 3 months. You can't do that. You want to test it now. You want to see if the other team notices. The thing with Judge looking in, that was just Aaron making a mistake. I think that what that probably is for them is as the batter's getting into the box, if they do notice that Kirk is giving them some sort of an indication of the pitch, I think he's supposed to look straight across and then get in and get set. He's not supposed to be in there and then have a look in and then look back. It's comical at some level, and then it's really insulting at other levels. So. But karma's a real bitch when it comes to baseball. And if there's any sport where karma comes around and bites in the ass, it's baseball. So, you know, hang on, Yankees.
I don't know if it bites you in the ass or if it hits you in the ear.
Yeah. That can happen too.
It's a big kick to the nay-nays. What are you talking about?
I can tell you right now, Nolan Ryan's on the mound. Somebody's getting beamed.
Maybe more than one guy. Bob Gibson. Yeah, Bob Gibson will throw it at you, and then he'll throw it at a guy in the dugout, too.
Yeah.
I kind of miss those days.
Yeah, you mean like pull a full, Mitch or a wild thing or a, Bull Durham, right?
Yep. Hit the bull.
I don't know where the ball's going to go. But to your point, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the Blue Jays Nation is up in arms over this, and rightfully so, because like I said, it would have been one thing if there was the hint of it and we really didn't dig into it, but the fact that they come around not even 24 hours later and get caught sticky handed, it's insulting at this point. And this is now a full fledged rivalry in Major League Baseball, in my opinion. It's always been kind of subtle between Blue Jays and Yankees fans for years.
Yeah. I thought it was always more against the Red Sox. I thought it was more of a Red Sox.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sox Jays thing.
Yeah. And it was a Yankees Red Sox thing, obviously.
Yeah, Yankees Red Sox, sure, but now it's the Yankee Jays. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and I don't even know. Like, I mean, it's funny you would mention that. Like, I mean, you know, there's always mention of rivals. Yeah. And we seem to, as sports media, it seems to be like one of the main drivers of people's ambition for what can happen. Like out here on the West Coast, because we don't have anything except for the Canucks. I mean, you know, we have some rivalries with teams we've run into in the playoffs, but not really. And then they, you know, the Kraken comes out here and they're like, we want to hate Seattle. And they're like, well, most of the, you know, unfortunate NFL fans in this city cheer for the Seahawks. So you already are taking something that isn't going to work. We're not going to dislike a team from Seattle just because, yeah. I mean, we dislike Calgary because it's Calgary. That's easy. That's a softball. But
yeah,
if you want to create a rivalry, I mean, this starts it. I mean, Manoah and Cole started it last year. I mean,
broken the bear.
what's going to happen? If you want a real rivalry, like Red Sox Yankees rivalry, then when we're coming up to playoffs this year, and if they're not going at each other tooth and nail, and they're not, you know, just like barbs flying and the whole works. I mean, look at the Rangers and the Jays. I mean, after that year, that never turned into anything else. And everyone thought, oh my God, it's the biggest thing.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, Odor comes back and he doesn't even get booed anymore, which I put on the fans in Toronto. I'd boo that guy.
Needs to happen.
Yeah.
I boo him even on my TV at home.
Especially when you shave that beard off to go to New York. You look like a 12-year-old.
Maybe that's why it didn't become a rivalry with him anymore, because we couldn't recognize him.
Maybe. He was hidden.
Yeah.
Who's that guy? So.
But yeah. I didn't think much of the Rangers, though, actually. When we beat them the last couple of years in the playoffs, I was like, is it really a rivalry with the Rangers? Aside from them taking a swing at us, I'm like, didn't we beat him two straight seasons in the
playoffs? Yeah. So to that point, this is what Yankees fans always said about the Red Sox. It has to be competitive for it to be a rivalry. That was the repeated thing I heard here in New York State when the Red Sox and the Yankees were really going at it at the turn of the millennium. The Red Sox would have had to win a game here and there to make it a rivalry. And they just dusted them every year in the playoffs for how many years in a row. It just seemed obnoxious. And that's what made that reward of watching the Red Sox just finally bury the damn Yankees so much more rewarding. I jumped off my couch and got in trouble in my dorm room for being too loud with all the anti-Yankee fans across the hall from the Yankees fans. It was beer bottles flying across the hallway. It was completely obnoxious. So, but it's that kind of stuff.
You know, I think that kind of put a pin in the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry. I mean, that was kind of it. They'd finally gotten over the hump. The Yankees didn't have anything to hold over the Red Sox, you know, anymore. It was completely over.
Curse is over.
I feel like, I've watched this a number of times now, like you used to have to have a real big set of cojones to walk into Yankee Stadium with a Red Sox jersey on. Now it's pretty mild. Like, you know, you might see a guy getting ripped a little bit or a girl getting yelled at or whatever, but it's nothing like it was 5 or 6 years ago, even more so 10 years ago. You know, I mean, it's real rivalry.
Like going to a Dodgers Giants game.
Yeah, I mean,
people literally
been to some Dodgers Giants game. I've been to a Dodgers Giants game. They don't like each other at all. Like, at all. It's way worse than any rivalry game I've ever been to. I've heard there's some good ones for the Raiders, though, as well.
But to that point, this is becoming something, it seems like, because this is the kind of stuff for this season especially is not going away with what's happened over the last weekend here. Is it full Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin? Probably not, but you know, it is what it is. So
does that mean can I call Aaron Judge a jabroni for the rest of the,
as long as he checks his ass in the SmackDown hotel on the scoreboard the rest of the week, the rest of the year.
Oh boy.
What? Anyway, let's talk the week that is coming, boys, because after tonight we are no longer going to be playing the Yankees, and I don't think we play them honestly until crunch time in September. Ooh. I think it's a bit because of this new schedule that we have with the Major League Baseball season where everybody plays everybody, which, by the way, I love it. that is the thing baseball needed, I think. And I think it's really been creative and made things very fun and interesting. But yes, I am 100% right. The Yankees do not play the Toronto Blue Jays again until near the last damn weeks of the season.
And that might really help this thing too. I mean, this might give enough gas underneath it that'll be a really important part of the season. And, you know, it'll be one of those things where you've got probably the potential for some big, huge wins or some big, huge losses for either of those teams. And that's where the rubber really hits the road.
Yep. And I was sorry, I was wrong. I misspoke a little bit. We do have one more game with them tomorrow, and it's going to be the end of the series, and that's the end of it. But then we get the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays over the next week. So it's going to be a slightly obnoxious week. And we were talking last week, it doesn't get much easier after that with the Blue Jays having to take on the Twins, the Brewers, and so on and so forth heading into June. Over the next week.
We're actually going to be in, I'm taking my family actually on Sunday to the game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. My kids still don't know that we're going to the Jays.
Hopefully they're not watching.
They do now. Bring our kids in. Come on in. Surprise.
Ta-da. Make sure you don't forget, Ken, you have to sign up for the Junior Jays Day thing now where they run the bases at the end of the game. So you got to find somewhere to...
Where do you have to sign up for that?
It may sound like there was a web link or...
Yeah, you go to juniorjays.com, I think it is, and sign up and you get a bunch of free swag. You get some, like a little kit when you get there, and you get special offers. It's actually a pretty good thing. They do it in most MLB parks now with the junior program, and you get ticket offers and some other cool stuff. So.
Yep. So just make sure you're allowed to do that. You got to sign up for a time. I've been very adamant about that on the broadcast the last few weeks.
No, that I'm glad you guys said, because honestly, we just showed up and I assumed we would have just been able to go and run the bases. Now, is there an age limit?
Yeah, you can't do it.
Kenny, if you have facial hair, I have a strange feeling they're not going to let you do it. Although maybe it's a reason to shave and try.
Bordeaux could probably do it.
Wrong on my knees.
There it is.
Well,
Ruin the Door could probably get away with it right now if he shaves his beard.
There we go.
So, to that point, I'm glad you get to go to the game. That should be a good one. I'm very interested to see what it looks like, a Blue Jays versus Blue Jays versus Orioles series, because those teams are slightly one and the same. They're in the ballpark of where we were before we grabbed everybody and really filled out the team, right? But there is so much talent on that Baltimore Orioles team just waiting to really bubble up and surface into something. But apparently it's surfaced into something well enough, because they're technically ahead of the Blue Jays right now. So I just wonder, I really still wonder where, if they have the legs to be able to continue it. That's my only question with the Baltimore Orioles. And just to say it, I think all three of us said that the thing we were calling bullshit on in the early predictions of the series was the Baltimore Orioles are not a crummy team. Proven in point. Everybody said they were going to regress this year. I'm not seeing a lot of regress. I'm seeing a lot of improvement. So, that's what happens when you have a 27-15 record, basically a little over a month and a half into the season. So, good deal.
Yeah. I'm surprised that the entire AL East division, no one's winning easily nowadays. Like, it is so competitive. The records are very similar to everything. So it's like, can you imagine if this is like near the end of the season and there were still no, leader, like overall leader fighting for like that top spot in the playoffs, and you're like four or five teams literally right there, all very within one or two games of it. Like, oh man.
There's only a few teams in baseball. There's just a couple of divisions with our record. We'd be the first place team in the division, period. Or right within striking distance. Just saying.
Yep.
So anyways, how
hold
do you
on
guys
think? Hold on. Hold on. Hold Get on. Up. Hold on.
Wait for it.
This just in from our headquarters in Wahoo, Nebraska. Domingo Germain has been suspended 10 games for pitching with a foreign substance.
Thank you, Major League Baseball.
Maybe it's the massive amount of chew he has in his mouth that was dripping down on his hand. Holy God. How does he even fit teeth in there?
Yeah.
All right, guys, explain to me. So he had a sticky substance on the ball and on his hand or whatever.
Everywhere. So look what at is the, that like, you really can see it on the palm of his hand. It was on
he's
his...
just sticky all together. What does that do to the ball? Like, is it just so for him to get a better
couple
grip,
different things?
Or is
it... Do you want me to take this one or you got it? So
go ahead, Jason, and I'll fill in anything I think.
Couple of different things. So obviously, any kind of stick, like a fastball or any kind of pitch you're throwing, the more finger you can keep on the ball for the longer, the more rotation. Your fastball
action thing.
Yeah, is your fastball is a straight rotation out of your hands that way, and it's going that way. A curveball or a changeup or anything like that, yeah, is rotational as well. So when you're throwing sliders or cutters or anything like that, if you have something tacky on your fingers, the rotation is so fast that the ball will actually appear to go straighter and cut harder or cut down harder. And that's why when a guy does this, he has to wipe before he can go to the ball. So if you lick, you have to wipe somewhere before you can go to the ball. It used to be sort of a, I know that in the majors, guys used to spit into their gloves. Like they would pitch and then they would spit into their glove and then they would just keep it. They'd get the ball back, bang, and then they'd just rub it without doing anything. I mean, it's been something that's been done for 1,000 years. I mean, you know, everyone's trying to get a little bit more rotation on their curveball or a little bit more speed on their fastball. But, you know, Craig and I were talking about this a bit before you came and a bit before we started. I mean, a guy who pitches as well as he does, he doesn't need that. Just get on the mound and chuck your stuff. You know, like Garrett Cole, who's on the mound right now, he's a notorious cheater. He's like, people know that he's got stuff and he puts it, you know, he's got it all over the place. And any kind of advantage he's going to get or that he can get, he's going to use. Where, you know, you've got a guy who's struggling in Alex Manoah right now, and he'd probably do anything to get a little bit more bite on one of his pitches. But, you know,
he hasn't done sticky, apparently. At least he hasn't been caught.
He's got enough integrity, I think, to sort of just keep bashing his head against it until he sort of breaks it.
And we started seeing the right direction of that until the Yankees came in yesterday. And honestly, he still didn't have too bad of a game. It was just too much, right?
Yeah.
So
I listened to a thing the other night and was Nolan Ryan talking about, you know, how confidence is so key when you're a pitcher, and what starts to happen as your confidence starts to slip away is when you're really confident, the plate looks like that wide, right? And you're painting corners, you're doing all this stuff. And as your confidence dwindles, it starts to do this. And so if you try to put a ball here, where's it going? It's going out of the yard. So now you take that little area and you start moving it to places on the plate. And if you're not catching those spots, you'll walk 8 guys. And it's one of the hardest positions in all of sports. You're out there on an island. The tiniest little adjustment can be the difference between your slider catching the corner for 15 strikeouts or for 9 walks. And, you know, when you have somebody who's cheating, then I mean, it just takes away from the purity of the game. Like, you know, I find it very frustrating when pitchers feel the need to cheat. It's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, good to know. I've always wondered what was the big deal about it, and thanks for explaining it. You know, so yeah, it's true. Like, I don't think they need it at this point, right? They're already at the top of the top in making the major leagues. Right. I can see maybe more of that stuff in the minor leagues where they're still trying to see if they can do anything to try to get in.
Trying to get discovered, right? What breaks you through the ceiling?
Yeah. Newly wed or nearly dead. That's what I think. Like if you're just trying to break in, or if you're, you know, if you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth, you know, Eddie Harris style, the old Vaseline bulb. You know, it's...
Yeah. Or like we said, the little goober booger ball that we were talking about from Rookie of the Year.
I think that the thing we have to keep in mind, and there was a lot of talk about this, like Max Scherzer got 10, and it was clearly proven that Max Scherzer had resin on his hands. Now, I mean, there's a million ways you can get resin on your hands, and the more you sweat, the more it sticks. So you could touch somebody's bat in the dugout, put it into the thing, you could move it out of your way. Somebody could have it on it. And wasn't like he was covered in it, not like Jermaine was. Jermaine had it everywhere. Max Scherzer had a little bit on the end of his finger, and it was the same that got him got another guy, same thing. And it was determined to be rosin on his fingers too, which is a really common thing to have on your hands as a baseball player. I mean, it's kind of...
Oh, you mean like they have it on the pitcher's mound that you can use rosin and
yeah.
do whatever you want? So Ken, for you, that and anybody else that doesn't know, rosin is the one approved, you know, to keep your hands a little, so they can get enough contact on the ball to, you know, especially in days where it's slippery, wet, whatever, cold, to get sweaty. That little extra tack on your hand to hopefully not kill somebody with a 99 mile an hour fastball. That's the principle. So, Jason, as you were, I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's it. That was my whole dog and pony show right there.
There we go. There it is. So, but yes, it was very interesting to see that's even better. That makes me feel a lot better that Major League Baseball came over and just said, and deal with it. They had to get slapped somehow, and that's two starts. So the Yankees are going to have to find somebody for two starts. That is a valid punishment.
And I think that one of the things that's clear, let's get this clear, Jays fans, people that are out there, Brett Boone knew he was cheating. I mean, for Brett Boone to claim that he didn't, Brett Boone's not putting on a show like he's putting on if he doesn't know that stuff is everywhere all over him. And you could see it from the dugout. You could see it from all over the place. And if Booney says that it wasn't there or that he didn't know, that's crap. And it's fairly apparent that by his own actions, he's showing that not only did he know it, but he's trying to distract everything away that he can from the players that are getting in trouble by getting himself thrown out every game. And
oh, you've noticed that?
Yeah, I've also noticed that I don't know if there's another manager right now in baseball that feels like more like his job is on fire rather than Booney. Like he's had a boatload of talent for a number of years now, and they have not been successful.
And they literally just backed the dump truck up with money to Aaron Judge.
So. And it's, I don't know. I mean, you can put on a show all you want, but if they're going to keep getting caught, you know, and like I said, they're going to keep getting hurt. They're not going to end up in a good spot at the end of the year.
Not to get sympathy points for anything for the Yankees, but they have found a way to be the like most injured team in Major League Baseball so far this season. So, at least as most.
They got to fire their trainers and physical therapists. That's all I got to say.
George Costanza. Bring back Costanza.
Well, bodysuit man can only help so much.
Costanza was really good.
It's because there's a ticking clock under his desk. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. So
there's a bomb. There's a bomb.
So, but as the Blue Jays obviously take on the Yankees this evening, they will have who's on the mound tonight. But so Jose Barrios will be wrapping the series tomorrow. I forget who. Oh, it's Nestor Cortez is pitching tomorrow. So how do you think the series ends up tomorrow, boys? Do you think if they squeak out tonight, you see split in the future, or do you unfortunately see us just kind of eating this series and moving on and coming back to the Yankees in September and really making
it? What do you think?
I think if we can pull it out today, I can see a split in the future. I think just to get their confidence back, because I think they're going to want to stick it to the Yankees for the last couple of games, especially with all of the animosity over the last couple of games. I think that it'll light a fire under the Jays. Yeah. Now, if we lose today, I still think we might be able to pull one off anyways, just for the fact that we're not going to let them sweep.
I'm going to go out on a limb. They're going to win today, and they're going to win tomorrow. I saw some telltale signs with Nestor Cortez having a little bit of trouble right now. He's having to do video sessions.
5-something ERA.
Yeah, they were talking about him having to do extra pitching sessions, and then they showed some of it, and he's not throwing the ball well. And he has to, even with his hokey move and his, you know, all that other stuff, he has to throw the ball well for them, because when he doesn't, it's a tomato. It is so hittable. He is a deep zone guy. He throws the ball into really good parts of the zone, unfortunately. When he's missing it, he's deadly. When he's not, it's not good. And, you know, Barrios has been good. I'm hoping he can keep that going. And then today's kind of up in the air. Is it still 0-0 in the third?
Yep, and it is a pitcher's duel to this point, which would you expect with the start that Chris Bassitt just had, literally pitching the first Blue Jays shutout since Marcus Stroman in like 2019 or something like that. That was not the last Toronto Blue Jays shutout, but that was the last one that occurred in the Rogers Center. So it's been a bit.
I know.
Yes,
been a minute.
Kelly Gruber.
Kelly Gruber.
But I agree with you, Jason. I think they have the right things going. And the Blue Jays have found a way to hit Gerrit Cole hard over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think this is the calm before the storm. And the Yankees already have two errors going into the top of the third inning. So there's been some miscues and Aaron Boone being on fire, all of these things. I'm just wondering if tonight's the night that it just isn't the Yankees' night at some point in this game when we run away with three runs and that's enough for Bassett to hammer it down. So, and that and the fact that the bullpen's not a horrid mess right now with being overworked and all that stuff. In part to some of Chris Bassett's and other company recently making sure they actually get some innings in the starting pitching.
Yeah.
I think the big piece is that you're starting to see some of these other things roll around on the offense. George Springer actually went and had three hits last, for example.
Yeah.
So to your point, Brandon Belt is hitting. The one thing we didn't really touch on too much this evening or at all, just to say it, Vlad Jr. is day-to-day with knee discomfort. And I don't know if you guys saw it
during the broadcast.
It's, I don't know, but it was that definitely that weird catch he had running in from the country mile something, but it says knee discomfort is what he is day to day for. They're not expecting him to miss a ton of games. And honestly, the way he's running around the dugout, I think they're just making him take a day. And stuff.
He's really aggressive with his running, actually. I've noticed.
He's a goofball, man. He's tons of fun. You know?
So, I did.
You can't keep him down.
The best part was, is I was talking to my my boys' little league team about passion and commitment, and, you know, bringing it and all this other stuff. And so I said to them, guys, if you ever want to see what it means to give a hundy, you know, in a game, find the video of Vladdy diving into two. I mean, that was a swan dive of all swan dives. And how much fun. He comes up grabbing the base. He's looking into the Dougie with the braids going. I'm like, how old is this guy? 10? Like, and it's so much fun. He's just, you know, he's just thunderbutting around. And did you guys, I don't know if you guys saw Springer score from one.
He was on fire with that run yesterday.
I mean, he was jogging, like, you know, head back, just wheezing his way around the bases.
But he gets to that point, I don't know if you heard, but he run at the age of 33, running around the bases, that was still above speed for Major League Baseball. That wasn't, you know, amazing, or it wasn't average, it wasn't elite, it was like, if elite's like right here, he was like speed-wise, like...
They have three guys that are in the top five, I think, of total speed in the...
Merrifield, Springer, and... Marshall, I believe, right? Or is it... Oh, Kiermaier. I want to say Marshall was actually really close on that argument.
Yeah, and so is surprisingly, Biggio. Every time they've tested him, he's been like way up there with his speed numbers to first, and first to third are really high.
You know who's been also really sneaky fast? I didn't realize how fast Matt Chapman is.
Yeah. He gets really veiny.
He's the leader in this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He mash home runs, which he does.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect somebody that hits the ball that hard to be that quick either. It's kind of.
No.
It's like.
I think Chapman expects a double every single time. If it's not a home run, he expects a double.
Yeah. He's just taking bases.
I think he'd be upset with a single.
Yes.
To be honest.
So, but to that point, hey. He's hitting the ball damn well, and even when he wasn't playing too well last night, he still managed to get on base with a seeing eye signal, and that was right when the Blue Jays needed it to happen, so it worked. So he's finding a way to contribute regardless of mashing home runs, and to that point, been one of the best hitters on this team so far this season.
Yeah.
AL MVP of the month for April, just saying. So, but boys, as we're talking the end of the week here, it is that time again where we talk picks to click. So last week we had the Heck on with us from definitely not Jay's Talk, and he picked Brandon Belt. I'd make an argument that might be okay, but let's talk the other pieces. Ken, we carried over your pick for Merrifield due to your absence last week.
Okay.
Jason, you had Dalton Varsho. And I had Bo Bichette, and unfortunately, I killed Bo Bichette's week like I've been doing with everybody lately.
Yeah, I need you to start picking Ace or one of the trainers. Or
I'm going to pick Devon White because he's a hitting coach in the Blue Jays system still. So I can tell you, he might get a few hits.
Let me Google who the Bat Boys are.
Oh, God. You know, all that one, maybe I'll pick Josh Allen. Hit a couple home runs at BP last night as my Buffalo Bills. So, to that point, at Blue Jays fans, if you're looking for something to watch outside of Toronto Blue Jays baseball so far this year, the Buffalo Bisons have been on fire. So,
and Vancouver Canadians. I mean, you can't watch that anywhere, unfortunately, but to be here and watch it than that. But I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a team that mashes. I went to a game the other day and I saw 5 home runs, one of them out of the deepest part in Nat Bailey. The estimate was that it was 450.
Damn. And it was, do you know who hit that? Because now I'm curious.
Who hit it? Number 28.
Now you're going to make me look at rosters.
I can find it.
Let me put my pen in my hat.
Canadian roster. Somebody do a tap dance or something until I get there.
So anyway, so why don't we just talk this real while you're pulling a rabbit out here somewhere. out of those picks, I'm honestly wondering if we finally got a guest spot win. Because Varsho did decent. Bo, about as good as Varsho. I can't say anything to write home with. Whit Merrifield had a very Whit Merrifield week, but Brandon Belt came up with some very key hits in that Braves series.
He's been really performing well. When I was worried about him in the beginning of the season, where his stats weren't the greatest, but I feel like for the last, I don't know how many series, he's been really picking it up. So did I already pick him on one of my picks to click?
You did not.
So, he's mine.
So he's your new one, but the belt carries he's over, so we don't have a guest tonight. So sorry, Ken. So right. On that note, though, Jason, I hate to say it, but we're down to Ken's pick of Merrifield, I think, or that spot belt. I kind of just feel like voting against Ken because he's got 4 wins.
Yeah, guest spot wins. Brandon Belt wins, man.
So to that point, Ken, it's not hurting you too bad because that's finally the first win of the year for our guest spot. So you're hooray still winning 4-1 to 1-1.
Okay.
Well, and so if you want to know who hit that monster bomb, his name is Michael Turcone.
I don't know Michael Turcone, and I am the minor league guy that unfortunately needs to get back more into minor league stuff.
He's 23, born in Pittsburgh. Drafted by the Jays in 2022, 15th overall in round 15. Went to Wake Forest.
Last then.
He's 5'10", 185. And this year he is hitting .328 is OBS. OBP is .400. OPS .978. 3 homers, 12 RBIs. There you go, Michael. That's your minor league update from that.
Did right here on Jaybird watching. Did you say what position he plays?
Two.
That's some sneaky pop from a second baseman, man.
Yeah, I know, for a little guy too. He's a little dude.
So hey, I'm all for. I don't care where they play as long as they're athletic and they can do what they can do. And absolutely. And that's a very Kevin Pillar kind of draft pick number if you talk that whole thing. So that's where you don't get the best success from. But to that point, when they make out. It turns into wonderful stories. Obviously, the best, last, latest, greatest, way too far in the draft pick ever was Mike Piazza, who was drafted as a favor to somebody and turned into one of the best catchers of all time. So I can't say defensive, though, but
no,
one of the best catchers of all
time. Yeah. Hey, so did Ken pick? Who did you take, Ken?
Yeah, Ken.
Well, I think okay. I will pick for this week. Did I pick Varsho before?
You have not picked Dalton Varsho yet.
Varsho's the guy.
So Varsho's going to heat up for my fantasy team this week is what I'm hearing, because Ken always seems to win. Jason, it's on you, man. What are you thinking?
I was thinking, have I taken Chapman?
Negative, sir.
Done. Chapman.
Lock it in.
There you go.
Chappy.
Pink eye, black, and all.
Yep.
Pink, black. Nope. Eye pink? Pink eye. Oh, God. He's got pink eye.
To that point, he had a pretty rough day on Mother's Day with the 2 errors, but he found a couple of hits, so I guess I'll balance it out.
Yep. Yeah.
I have not picked one of my favorite players, and I think I'm watching because I didn't realize he had this many RBIs until the broadcast yesterday. I'm going to go with Danny Jansen.
There you go. Good pick. Sleeper. So,
yeah.
Or sleeper pick.
He's definitely
to that point. He's not playing tonight. Kirk's our guy.
But isn't Jansen DHing today?
I think he might be because of the fun going on with Vlad. I didn't see.
So he's playing.
No, he is DHing. You are 100% correct.
Yeah.
So, and I think it says he had he struck out. I was like, is that the walk category or is that? So I'm off to a wonderful start, like usual. So, and to that point, Jason, you have the only guy that's gotten me a win so far this year with Matt Chapman. He's like, picked him in the midst of the hot streak and he didn't suck like everybody else I picked so far this year. So, but anyways, is there anything too you would like to talk about before we sign up?
I got nada.
I'm good.
You feeling good about the whole? You got everything off your chest that you needed to about the cheating fiasco?
I think so. Danny, you missed. I got into it a bit.
There was nearly a table.
I can't wait to listen to it.
What's the table? Jeez Louise.
Do I have to start bleeping out any of the
extra? Well, no, maybe Craig, but not me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm a horrible person. I was a military contractor for 10 years. I kind of inherited some mannerisms. A certain level of English.
So, yeah. Well, I don't even edit those bleeps out anyway, so I don't know why I'm bothering.
It's not worth it. No. This is not a kid's show.
Nope.
I would say that it's enough that it's kind of worse than when anybody else listens to on YouTube, so I'm just glad they're all listening.
Nope.
Yep.
So on that note, Blue Jays fans, make sure you actually do click those subscribe buttons on YouTube and join us every week here on the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, your home for the Blue Jays Barroom Chat. As you can see from my beer and a half I'm already drinking here, my land shark this week. But make sure you join us each week. Join the conversation. Hit us up in the chats on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you happen to be listening to the show from while we're streaming. And make sure if you don't catch us live, you listen in a lot for our wonderful podcast. So wherever you get your podcasting pleasures from, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, any of that good stuff, we are here for you. We are the Jays Barroom Chat, official podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of Fansided. And I think that means it's the end of the show, boys. So 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Thank you, Suck.
Kelly Gruber.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.